things that are going on, but still, I can see God and I can find the joy in what I'm going through. I can find some rays of sunshine, some little victories that happen during the day. So James says, when you have a problem, be joyful. God has a purpose for your life and he's going to bring you through it. And that's where you find your joy and your recognition that God is there walking with you. The second thing I want to talk about is demands. God tests our faith through demands. Did you know that there's 1,050 demands in the New Testament alone? Of all these demands, some of them seem unreasonable, some of them are inconvenient, and some of them seem outright impossible. So what do you do when you receive a seemingly impossible demand? Well, first thing you have to ask yourself is, who are you going to trust? Are you going to believe what God says and do it? Or are you going to believe what you think and act on your own will? Every time God gives us a command in the Bible, it's a demand on our life that we're supposed to respond to. It's another test. Like, confess your faults to one another. That's a test. How about don't worry about anything? Do any of you struggle with that? That's a test. How about forgive other people? That's a command in the Bible. That's a test from the Bible. Or how about be thankful in everything? The test is, am I going to trust what God says to do? What he says is right? Or am I going to trust my own instinct, my own senses, and do what I think is right in my own eyes? There are literally hundreds of examples in the Bible of God says, do this, and they trusted him. Their faith was tested. The people of Israel were on their way out of Egypt. They'd been in captivity and they were on the way to the promised land, and God put a demand on their life, something called manna. It was a command. Manna was a bread-like substance that fell from the sky. They had to go out each morning and gather enough for the day. But God said, here's the command. All you can gather is enough for one day. Exodus 16:4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. There's all kinds of reasons why they should have been able to gather more than one day's worth. I could hear him say, just one day, but God, why can't I gather enough for a week? It would be way more convenient. Wouldn't have to go out every day. How about, what if I get sick tomorrow and won't be able to go out and gather bread? And then what if I trip and hit my head on a rock, get bit by a snake, and I can't gather my bread? But see, that wasn't the point. There were all kinds of reasons that made more sense to them to gather more than one day worth. The point was, God was testing their faith to see if they'd walk in it every day, believing that the very next day there would be more bread, more manna for them to gather. God came to a man named Noah one day. He says, I've got a demand. I want you to build an ark. Well, Noah lived in the desert. Noah had never seen rain, because in that time it says in the Bible that the moisture came up from the ground in a mist. It had never rained, and God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to make it rain. So if God asked you to build an ark in the middle of the desert and you've never seen rain, would you do it? Noah did it. It says, by faith, Noah built the ark. You know, we may not be asked to do something quite that strenuous, but God does demand us to build things in our life. He calls on us to build relationships. with non-believers, to extend the hand of love that Jesus Christ has shown to us. So what's the lessons here? If I want to live by faith, I need to rejoice continually. I have to learn to obey immediately. When God says do it, by faith I have to do it whether I understand it or not. So first he builds our faith through our difficulties. He builds our faith through demands. And the third one I want to talk about is God builds our faith through our dollars. There's a ticklish subject. So I'm talking about money. Did you know that your money is one of the greatest tests of faith we find in the Bible? The greatest test of faith in your life. Very few of us understand how God uses our possessions to test our character and to test our faith. Luke 16:11 says, therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is dollars, who will commit to you, or who will commit to your trust the true riches? Jesus has given a truth here that we find all through the scriptures. There's a direct relationship about how I handle my money and the spiritual depth of my life. Jesus said, if I'm not faithful in handling my material possessions, how can we be trusted with spiritual truth? How can we be trusted with spiritual power? Money as a test isn't hard to check out. Just get your checkbook out and look at it and see where your money goes. Is your money being spent for God's purposes? Is it being spent solely to enrich your life and build up your material possessions? Fact is, every time I give, my faith in God grows. Every time I give, I grow in hope, in faith. I grow in maturity. It builds my life. Money is one of those things that we just don't like to talk about. It's hard to talk about it. In 1 Chronicles 29:14, David said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and all your own we have given to you. What he's saying is when it's all said and done, everything you have, everything you possess, belongs to God anyway. And who are we to hold back from God what is already his? I want you to evaluate today how much faith in your giving there is. Be completely honest with yourselves. God looks at what you give to him. Would what you give tell God that you really trust him? You really believe in him? Or is there lack in faith? Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. For I will not open, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room, enough to receive it. This is one of the few places in the Bible God says, test me. In other words, God's saying, I want to play a game with you. You give to me, and I'll give to you, and let's see who wins. He says, now try me now in this. God's given us permission to test him, and I dare you this morning to test God in this one thing. I dare you to put him to the test and see if he will keep his promises. God wants to be the Lord of your difficulties. He wants to be the Lord of the demands in your life. And he wants to be the Lord of the dollars in your life. If you want to grow in faith, you have to rejoice continually. You have to obey immediately. And you must give generously. You know, what would happen if All of our prayers were answered immediately. Most of the time that's not going to happen because God tests our faith through delays. If all your problems were automatically met, all your difficulties were solved immediately, you'd have no need for faith to trust in God. But I'll tell you, I hate to wait. Maybe you can identify this. You're going down the 4-lane highway. Let's say we're by Walmart. And you're coming up on the red light and there's two cars in each lane. Do you think in your head now, which lane's going to go faster? Which one's going to leave the light quickest? I do that. I evaluate if there's a truck in this lane. Is there, you know, a car? That's the lane I want to be in, the lane that's going to leave the quickest. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. But I don't like to wait. How about this one? Grocery store. When you're coming up to check out, do you ever look and say, which line's going to go fastest? I don't want to wait in line. I want to pick the line that gets out of here the quickest. And I'll tell you, I'm not very good at that. I always pick the slowest when I do happen to go to a store. Let's face it. We don't like waiting in traffic. We don't like waiting in lines. We don't like waiting in doctor's offices. We don't like waiting on the nurses to come to answer that little buzzer that goes off when your IV bag is not working. I can just tell you that because I've been subjected to this week. I hate everything about waiting. And yet, you stop and think about how much of your life is spent waiting. What about the things God makes us wait for? We turn to God and we pray. I hope everyone prays every day. More than once. We pray for guidance. We pray for solutions to problems. But God makes us wait. Say, God, I need this settled right now. I don't want to wait on an answer. But God, you don't understand how bad I'm feeling right now. God, I don't want to wait. But you know, God does understand. God understands our waiting and our anxiousness. God, I want to get to that light at the end of the tunnel that you promised me. But I don't want to walk the length of the tunnel to get there. Look at Israel. As they traveled through the desert on the way to the promised land. You know, they could have traveled that distance in a few weeks. But it didn't happen. It took, 40 years for them to get there. Why all the wasted time? See, God wasn't interested in getting them from point A to point B in the quickest amount of time. He was interested in growing their faith and seeing if they would be obedient. And it's the same thing in our lives. God isn't necessarily concerned to get us from the point of our problem to the point of the solution in the fastest amount of time. He's interested in how we grow, how our faith grows, how our love for Him grows when we understand that He is in control. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not." I'm sure everyone here today has something going on in your life that you wish God would hurry up with, would move along. But that's when we need to look at Him and understand that He's growing us. He's growing our faith. He's testing us to see how we respond. Isaiah 64:4 says God acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. So we need to be patient. And just remember this. While you're waiting, God is working. And you're not waiting alone. He is always with you. So if I'm really going to grow in this faith, I need to wait patiently and hold on to Him. In the beginning of this message, I shared Luke 17:5 where the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. I want to ask you today, do you really want God to increase your faith? I hope you say yes. I hope you mean it. I want to know, are you willing to pray the prayer, God, increase my faith? There was a fine elderly lady that went to this church at one time. She always used to tell me, you don't want to pray for patience or God's really going to test you. Well, that may be true, but I believe the example of the apostles, that we need to pray for faith, for God to increase our faith. Maybe today you need to pray, God, please increase my faith through the difficulties and the hard times in my life. Maybe that's an area God's working on in your life right now. But you're not alone. God's with you through those tough times. Pray for the Father to help you continually rejoice. Maybe God's testing you right now through the demands He's placed on your life. Let me make it as, put it as simple as I can. What is it in your life that God has asked you to do, but you haven't done? Then it's time to pray. God, help me obey immediately. Maybe God is testing your faith through your dollars. Yeah, sometimes we feel like we can hardly make ends meet. And how dare God make a demand on that? But all I can do is urge you to test Him, to try Him in this, because He tells us that we can. Maybe you're facing a test today about delayed. You have a prayer, you're waiting to be answered. You have a problem that you're facing in your life that you just want it to end. You want God to hurry it along. This morning I ask you to please remember that God is testing your faith. That God is working on your heart as you work through these problems and the solutions come. He says, I am with you always. Let's all stand together. After we pray together, you'll have some time to have a few minutes with God and talk to Him. I ask you to take to heart these four things I've pointed out this morning. Examine your life. Examine yourselves. And see where you've fallen short. Where God, the areas that God needs to speak to you. The question again I ask is, do you want God to increase your faith? Do you want to walk with Him? Let's all bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today. Father, I thank you for those examples of faith in the Bible, of Noah and Job, Abraham, Jonah. Father, I lift this congregation up to you, these brothers and sisters. And I ask that you would just work on their hearts, Father, that you would inspire them. You would help them to grow in faith through the demands, through the things that come into our lives, Father. And I just pray if anyone needs to spend time with you this morning that they will do so, Father, in a heartfelt way. That they could feel your presence and know that you are always with them. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.